Four's Company, Saturday mornings here on 102.5 and 106.3. The Game, Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt in studio. Jake Wallman running the show behind the glass. Should be a fun one today. We'll get a college football 12-team bracket for the first time tomorrow. We got some college basketball, the ACC-SEC Challenge earlier this week.
We'll talk some Titans.
Oh, we're going to talk about that.
No, we're not.
And we've got the Titans taking on the Jaguars tomorrow, the marquee matchup of Week 14 between Tennessee and Jacksonville. We'll talk about that. All of that coming up throughout the show. We're with you till 11 o'clock and kickoff of Iowa State and Arizona State in the Big 12 Championship. Gentlemen, how are we? How is our week?
Honestly, it's been pretty good. I mean, can't go wrong. Obviously, it's been cold. Minus the cold weather, it's been great.
I like the cold.
Finally, somebody that I meet in my life that likes cold weather.
Finally!
I prefer cold weather to super hot, but it's been a little too cold for me this week.
I like it. It's fashionable, we'll say.
It snowed on Monday, and I was on my way in here, and people forget how to drive the second the first snowflake hits the ground.
It wasn't even sticking.
No, it was just flurrying.
It was just flurries.
It took me over an hour to get in here because people just forget how to drive as soon as there's some sort of moisture falling from the sky.
Well, that's the curse of 440 coming in here.
Right.
Wow.
I always leave an hour early because people forget to drive between the hours of 3 and 6 on 440.
It just makes no sense to me.
I don't understand.
I mean, the more and more people move to Nashville, the more and more the traffic gets worse. And it's just, come on, just use your gas pedal.
Nick Frazier says, move out.
Hey, this is my old man, get off my lawn type situation. Yeah.
This is his turf. This is his hood.
I love all y'all that come to Nashville. Just come to visit, all right? They're locals like me that enjoy what I grew up with.
Speaking of which, on Monday, were you guys listening to Jared at all?
Maybe.
I tried to listen to Jared sparingly.
There was a caller from California who basically just called in to say, I'm so happy that the Titans and Preds suck because it makes you unhappy, Jared. He's like, I'm a fan of LA sports teams, and it makes me so happy that the Titans and Preds are never going to win a championship because it makes you miserable. That was the entire purpose of his call. I was like, man, that's a really like sad life that you must live if you're calling in for that.
Yeah. Jared probably loved it, too.
Jared just was like, hold on, I want to stop you right there. Why are you calling? Like, what made you pick up the phone to make this call?
Yeah.
so sad.
I heard somebody else, I didn't hear, but like they texted in, like, it'd be a great lawyer. I was like, oh, this just went off the rails. Not sports anymore, but yeah. Jared would be a great lawyer.
He would.
He can argue a case better than almost anybody.
He can argue anything, even if he doesn't believe it.
Hey.
Right.
So, if I ever commit a horrible crime, Jared's getting me out of jail.
Jared Stillman is going to Mike Ross from Suits and being a lawyer.
Can you imagine the ads he would have? Oh, Jared Stillman. I don't know.
What would his catchphrase be? If anybody has ideas.
My God.
I just think of him at the end of one of those promos.
Oh, we got you. Yeah.
Emailing my doctor now, needs some hearing aids.
We apologize if anybody swerved.
That may have been worse than me singing Western Kentucky's anthem live on air.
Oh, man.
With that, let's get to our headlines. Nick Frazier, what you got for us this morning?
Yeah, my headline obviously happened last night. Boise State winning their conference championship. Would love to see Ashton Ginty win the Heisman, but it's just, it doesn't look likely because apparently Colorado and Travis Hunter, there's a lot more noise coming out of that area. So, but I mean, hats off to Ashton Ginty. I mean, this guy has been a workhorse all season long. I think he's 132 yards away from passing Barry Sanders' all-time rushing record. So that's pretty cool to see. Obviously, it's not in the regular season per se, but he could easily get it done during the playoff. So, and they have a first-round bye, that is, so which means he'll be healthy to go
right.
For the most part. And maybe he does do it. Maybe at least gets 132 if they lose or win.
I love this might be controversial, but I do love the auto bids and the like giving Boise State a chance to get in, even though technically by their ranking they might get an at-large bid anyway. But I love that we're going to get some different teams that are going to get a chance to play and prove that they can hang in there with the quote-unquote big dogs and the blue bloods. So it should be fun over the next month. as we get ready for the college football playoff. I was mentioning I'm not going to be on for pretty much the entire college football playoff shows over the next few weeks.
Yeah, it's your last show of the year, isn't it?
I can come on the next 2 weeks. I'll be over at Vandy. We have Saturday games the next 2 weeks. And then I'm going to be out of town the weekend after that. But
man, you're going to miss Secret Santa here.
Oh, yeah, the white elephant thing. Yeah.
I got Frazier.
I'm just kidding.
Just give me an oven mitt.
No, I got you salad hands.
All right.
I know you love to make salad.
Thank you. Yeah, I do like to make salad. Hey, it's pretty good.
I'm disappointed. The next time I'm going to be on will be the day before Vanderbilt women's basketball hosts Kentucky. So, we'll talk about that.
Who suffered their first loss the other day?
Oh, we'll get to that. Connor, what is your headline?
Wait, are we talking men or women?
Oh, both.
Oh, yeah, that is true. Have you been keeping up with the what's going on in Murfreesboro lately?
I've not.
There's a mass exodus.
Oh,
from MTSU football. as we speak right now, another one just entered the portal. So that would make 19 portal entries plus a walk-on. Walk-ons obviously don't count against your scholarships, but I think it's the change of culture that Derek Mason needs. I think this might actually be a good thing. You're cleaning out, starting from scratch. Obviously, results did not show this season going 3-9. Not great, but I think Derek Mason is, you know, last year he kind of just took what he could get, you know. Now he's bringing in his recruits, and I think he's going to start bringing in his guys in the transfer portal. So, kind of to be expected, a mass exodus with results like that. But maybe it's for the better. We'll see. But I just kind of wanted to bring that up. Change is going on in the borough right now.
Yeah, I saw Omari Kelly in the portal. He was the bright spot, but like you kind of saw it coming that he's going to go back up to the Power 4 level at some point.
That, so. I mean, that was to be expected.
I'm excited to see where he goes because I think that dude, I mean, based on what I saw this year, he could end up being an NFL type guy.
Yeah. I would take a flyer on him in like rounds 5-7.
Yeah. And if he goes somewhere else and continues to have success at a higher level, could even improve that stock. My headline, I had a good one, and I can't remember it now. So I will go with Jameis Winston on Monday night. That was kind of my backup. What a performance from Jameis Winston. The ultimate Jameis game on Monday night against the Broncos. Threw 6 touchdowns, 2 were to the other team, over 500 yards passing, and then threw a death pick at the very end as well. And of course, we got the great Jameis soundbite as well. I should have clipped this before, but asking the Lord to deliver him from pick sixes is just a crazy thing to say. Lord, please deliver me from pick sixes.
How can one not love that man, though?
I would love for him to come here next year. It won't happen. He's going to get a bigger deal to go be a starting quarterback somewhere. I think him and Darnold are going to be the free agent quarterbacks that somebody signs as a bridge guy. Yeah. But, man, I love me some Jameis Winston. Just the ultimate character. It was funny because I was paying a lot of attention in one of my fantasy leagues. One of my friends, he had the Broncos defense and was down by 2.1 at the end.
Oh.
And the pick just barely didn't get him enough. He lost by 0.1.
Oh.
But Jameis Winston throwing 2 pick sixes got him a chance in that one. Crazy. Jameis Winston, nice. National treasure, and maybe the ultimate Jameis Winston game on Monday Night Football. Jake Wallman, wrap us up.
I promise I'll be a lot quieter this time. I was going to do ACC-SEC men's challenge, the challenge, but since we're going to talk about that, my headline is, this is from Front Office Sports. Tulsa football players say fired coach promised NIL cash that never materialized. I don't know if you guys saw this.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, this is going to happen a lot.
This quote is from their quarterback, Cooper Lagasse. They were using this money as leverage, and it just kept getting pushed back, pushed back, pushed back, and now the season's over, and no one ever got anything. Wow.
I mean, we saw it with UNLV.
Yeah,
that's where my head went.
The promises, and they their backup quarterback ended up being great this year, and obviously they made it to the Mountain West Championship game, lost last night, but it's going to happen in more places where these NIL promises don't end up actually living up to what they said, because there's no rules. Like, there's no guidelines of how all of this is supposed to work, and you can make these promises and not follow through, and the players will have no choice but to just go somewhere else.
Yeah. Welcome to the new era of college football.
And it's just easy to replace people.
There was a alert I got last night that absolutely blew my mind. Jalen Daniels over at Kansas, he's coming back.
Right.
But it was phrased...
Agreed to a new deal.
Agreed to a new deal. I was like, what are we doing?
Yeah, it was like Jalen Daniels agrees to a new deal to return to Kansas for his final year.
What
like, that is going crazy.
I think we're
going
to see that type of wording as we go along in this.
Yeah.
Just because it's going to get a lot more and more like...
We are literally in free agency at this point.
Yeah, it is crazy how quick it has turned basically into professional sports.
It's wild.
For me, it's going to look at the bowl games, because if you have too many people opting out going to the transfer portal, you're going to see a lot more, and this is when COVID happened, they had a lot more 5-win teams making bowl games. I think that's what happened, I believe, if my memory serves me right.
Yeah. I mean, if they don't fill all the slots, they have to go to 5-win teams.
Right. So, like, I think you're going to see more of that with this transfer portal continuing.
I mean, I just think if you're at a big-name school and you don't make the playoff, like, look at the Ole Misses and LSUs who aren't going to be in the playoff this year. I bet half of their roster opts out.
Yep.
There's no point.
Yeah.
I got a quick question for you guys.
We have a quick answer.
Hopefully. With... You know, you see opt-outs with, you know, the 12-team playoff the next couple years and the 16-team playoff coming in 2026, I believe.
They're going to 14 first, I think.
Are they going to 14?
Yeah, I don't know.
They're going to 16?
They're going to 14.
The 12-team playoff's only going to last like 2 years.
It's going to get to 16 eventually, but they're going to 14 in 2026.
Which I think 32. Is, just get it there already.
I think it's silly that they're changing so soon.
Let's go 64.
Yeah, Mike Leach.
But they didn't ask me. Anyways, how often do you think we'll see opt-outs, especially for teams that make the playoff, but, you know, they have like a lot of high-profile guys that could go in the top 10, top 15?
I think playoff teams, you're not going to have any opt-outs. I think guys want to chase a national championship. But if you are at a high-level school where there's a lot of NFL prospects and you don't make the playoff, what's the point of going and playing in the ReliaQuest Bowl?
Unless your name is Jackson Smith and Jigba.
Yeah.
Right.
Who completely opted out of the national championship.
Yeah. I mean, well...
Or no, it was...
The semifinal.
It was semifinal. Yeah,
yeah. But that game, it came down to a shanked field goal at the end. Who knows whether that would have been the difference between Ohio State winning and Georgia winning. That's a good question. Speaking of questions, Jake Wallman, you have our question of the day.
Last time I went non-sports, so this time I'm going to go with a sports-related. If you could have the talents and career of one athlete, who would it be?
Oh.
That's a good question.
That's a great one. Career?
Yeah.
Like if I take on, I don't know, I'll throw one out there. Can we all just ban Michael Jordan? Please.
Yeah. We'll ban Michael Jordan.
Are we saying that you're given the talents and then you can do what you want with those talents, or are you having the exact same career as those players?
That's an even better question.
Well, that's I think there are easy answers if you're just saying like carbon copy, take it, or are you saying like I want the God-given ability
we can
X-player.
Forge our own path.
Okay, you know what?
Either one.
We're going to leave it up to interpretation, and if you have an answer out there, you can text us or call us. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, and our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. That's a good question. We will give our answers coming up at the top of the 10 o'clock hour, but when we come back, ACC-SEC challenges this week.
I don't want to talk about this.
We have some fun with Connor Newt coming up next here on Forest Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. It's the holiday season here at 102.5 The Game. Got the Christmas music going. Forest Company on this Saturday morning. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Jake Wallman with you. Lots to get to on the show today. Again, our question of the day is, if you could have the talent and or career of one athlete, who would it be? We've already got a couple answers on our text line, and we'd love to hear from you. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. You can text or call. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Going to talk some basketball here. It was the ACC-SEC Challenge this week on both the men's and women's side, and the SEC dominated. 24-8 was the final tally across men's and women's. 14-2 on the men's side, 10-6 on the women's side. Connor, I have some trivia for you.
Stop.
So there was only one team that had their men's and women's team lose this week in the ACC-SEC Challenge.
I already know.
Can you name the school?
It's the team in blue. We all know.
Penn State? Wait, what? Who?
No, but Penn State did just beat Purdue.
Mm. I did see that.
Connor, I got another question for you.
No, I do not want to hear from you, especially. Leave me alone.
You and Parker, Kelly, friend of the show, had an interesting conversation. It was about a week ago. Tennessee moved up to 3 in the basketball rankings, and you
said...
My
statement still stands.
You said that they would not... It actually does.
It was correct. It's still correct.
Because they will not be at 3 much longer.
Listen, we can't all play Syracuse at home, all right?
I mean, hey, listen, I am not the one to attack here, as I did not make the ACC-SEC Challenge schedule.
I'm just saying, Clemson's a good team. Clemson's going to be a tournament
team.
No,
they're good.
They're a perennial tournament team.
They're going to make it.
Brad Brownell, he does a good
job
over there.
Here's the thing. I'm not mad at Mark Pope at all about this loss. I don't think it's his fault. When you have a bad shooting night and you don't make the shots you usually make, you're going to lose. That's just how basketball works. So hopefully this loss against Clemson pisses them off tonight. In Seattle tonight against Gonzaga, neutral site game. Gonzaga is, I think, 4.5-point favorites. They're kind of heavily favored. But I don't doubt Mark Pope. Simple as that.
Mark Pope versus Mark Few.
I was told to cope with Pope.
Cope with Pope.
Whereas Calipari is struggling against a 3-win Miami team and beats them by 3.
I'm very upset that I didn't realize that was going on. We were literally walking distance from the Watsco Center. I could have gone over there. I'm sure tickets weren't that expensive.
You should have gone in and just say, hey, Connor Newt says, screw you, and flip him a bird.
That is what I should have done.
Yeah.
I should have totally done that.
He would have totally known who I was.
Exactly. He listens to the show.
Yeah, he loves us.
Yeah. I was down in Coral Gables. Vandy Woman got the win, 88-70 over Miami and the Cavender Twins on Wednesday night. Camille Pierre, 28-13. If you're not paying attention, Camille Pierre and Michaela Blakes might be one of the best duos in the SEC. They're that good.
Mm.
They're that good.
They're that good.
They put up 53 between the two of them.
I did find myself the other day just sitting here watching women's SEC-ACC challenge. Texas and Notre Dame was a great game.
Yep.
Overtime.
South Carolina, Duke.
Not as great.
LSU, Stanford went to overtime.
Yeah.
Auburn, Duke on the men's side. That was a pretty good game.
That was a good game. That one makes me feel better, too, because there was an SEC team that beat Duke, and it was not Auburn. So I would like to substitute that win for the loss for Clemson. The SEC-ACC on the men's side, there's only one loss, and it's Auburn.
Well, it is interesting that the two losses the SEC had were both by top five teams. And I know Duke is a top 10 team, but like Auburn and Kentucky were both top five in the rankings, and they were the only two that lost.
Yeah.
Vanderbilt went into Blacksburg and beat the Hokies, who Virginia Tech men's basketball may be the worst Power Four team in the entire country.
Is it that bad?
Oh, they're awful.
I don't keep up with Virginia Tech men's basketball.
Yeah, they're terrible. And two former Hokies on Mark Byington's squad at Vandy, MJ Collins and Tyler Nickel. They went in there, and I think 80-64 was the final. Hey, Vandy's turned it around. They've already got 8 wins. They had 9 all of last year. So
yeah,
good start for him.
I'm not trying to be a downer, but
I mean, I'll believe Vanderbilt when I see him play ACC play.
Right. Yeah. They play TCU tomorrow. So that I don't think TCU's all that great either, but they're playing power conference teams and playing decently. So we will see when SEC play rolls around. We got about a month to go until we get into SEC play. But good showing for the SEC on both the men's and women's side. Again, it was 14-2 on the men's side. Clemson and Duke, the only ACC teams to win.
In these situations, do you find yourself pulling for teams in the conference that you don't normally pull for? Because
no.
I don't.
No.
I don't.
Really?
I wasn't pulling for Tennessee. I wasn't pulling for Auburn. I wasn't pulling for... Who else do I hate in the SEC?
Everybody.
Yeah, I mean...
I'm going to pull for my Bulldogs. We're actually good at basketball.
Yeah, you are.
You know what?
Chris Hubbard.
I'll throw some love towards the Bulldogs.
Man. Thank you.
What is that dude's name?
It's drawing a blank. Hang on. I'll look it up. Continue, Jake.
Hubbard.
Please.
I think you should root for your conference in these challenge-type things because that's going to help your resume come March.
Chris Jans. The dentist.
Yes. Yeah. John Rothstein.
Bingo.
Speaking of love John dentistry, Rothstein. Kentucky plays Colgate.
Oh.
Toothpaste.
Hey, Colgate's a good team.
Yeah, Tennessee knows all about Colgate.
Yeah, you do.
They're a big three-point team, too.
Yeah, they are.
They're one of those 14-15 seed teams that are dangerous because they could put up like 18 or 19 threes if they get hot.
They're the game in between Gonzaga, which is today, and Louisville, which is in a couple weeks.
Louisville's really, I mean, they're going to be better.
That's going to be fun. Pat Kelsey's a good coach.
It's hard to be worse for Louisville, right? They were awful last year.
Kenny Payne.
Yeah, that was really bad.
Kentucky legend.
One question, or you were talking about, like, you know, rooting for your conference and stuff in these SEC, you know, these conference type challenges. I don't believe in conference loyalty.
I don't either.
And this will be a big topic with me when we get into like bowl games and stuff here in the next couple weeks. I could care less the SEC, how many teams they get in the bowls this year? 10?
Around that.
No, more than 13.
13. They could go 1-12. And if Tennessee's the only win, I could care less.
No, and I agree with that.
Bingo.
I'm saying in season for basketball, the SEC beating ACC teams and getting quality wins on their resume is only going to help your team when they play them later.
Yeah.
Like, that's going to help the SEC have more quad one teams that will help. Like, Tennessee winning over Syracuse instead of losing and being possibly the number one team in the country on Monday, that helps Kentucky when they play Tennessee. If they beat them, that's now a better win.
Yeah, that's true.
I think in non-conference, I think you root for your conference to do as well as possible because then if you beat them, that's a better win.
I don't know. I just can't bring myself to cheering for Tennessee, of course. I don't like Auburn this year. I don't like Bruce Pearl, so I can't cheer for Auburn. Not a big Nate Oates guy, so.
I get it. As soon as conference play rolls around, you're rooting against all of them.
Yeah.
But look at Indiana football this year.
I can't root for Indiana.
Don't you think Indiana football wishes that Michigan and Washington had been better?
Of course.
Oh, like, yeah. That's. I'm not saying.
Seed.
I'm not saying you have to root for them. I'm saying that. There's a mutual benefit to teams that you play being better and you being better for the teams that you play.
Yeah,
it's fair.
It's a fair argument.
Like, to his point about bowl games for the SEC, like, if it were me, I do want SEC teams being good in those games. Due to the fact of the matter, if I'm a Mississippi State fan, it just shows that we're really, really bad against really good teams.
Right, like, and that makes sense, too.
Like, I don't want to be rooting against SEC schools minus, you know, Ole Miss, but, like, that's, you're just going to have to understand that, you know, if you don't want to cheer for teams in your conference, give a good reasoning for it. That's just all I'm saying. Because my reasoning is I want to make sure that conference is loaded, because if they're loaded, then you know that your team is really, really bad. That's kind of how I look at it.
Bottom line from this challenge, what I've gathered.
Tennessee's not good. Okay, I get that. Okay.
SEC is the best basketball conference from top to bottom.
Yep.
There's no doubt in my
mind. Men's and women's side.
Yes, both sides.
I think the Big Ten in the women's side has an argument there because they've got a lot of good teams over
there.
They do. But I agree. The SEC, men's at least, this year is head and shoulders above everybody else. Like, they might get 11 teams into the tournament.
11 of 16.
Which is crazy.
That's insane.
Yeah. The SEC on the men's side is ridiculous this year. The women's side is really good. It's a little bit more, not quite as deep as previous years. Like, the bottom five in the SEC on the women's side are not very good.
Yeah.
But the top 11 could all be tournament teams. So, lots of good SEC basketball being played. We've finished up maybe the best two-week run of the regular season in college basketball with Feast Week and then the ACC-SEC Challenge. But conference play's right around the corner. So
this is where it gets fun.
We've got a lot to look forward to. Should be fun. That'll do it for our college basketball talk today. We're going to talk a lot of college football in the second hour.
That wasn't that bad.
Yeah, I just wanted to mess with you about the only SEC losing both their matchups with Kentucky.
Right. Can I just leave our listeners with a sour taste in their mouth?
Yeah, that'd be great. That's what we want.
Vols fans, for basketball, your team's not good yet. They're not. I'm sorry. You're playing who?
Look at his face.
What do we got? What else do we got to prove? You know, never mind.
No, play good teams.
And we will.
Well, we're going to see it.
Nick, I'm planning on going after Tennessee when we talk football later. So
he said, play good teams. I'm looking at resumes here. I mean, come on. Gardner Webb, Louisville, Montana, Austin Peay. I know these are warm-up games. Cupcake, Virginia.
Baylor looks like a worse win now.
UT Martin, Syracuse 4-3. I mean, come on. I could go out there and drop 20 points.
I'm glad he's the one saying it and not me for once.
Like, I mean, do I think Tennessee is the best team in the country?
No.
Like, when all things are said and done? No. But
this is unnecessary.
Right now, Tennessee deserves to be the number one team in the country based on the results that have happened.
This is unnecessary.
I just took 15 minutes of crap. You can get yours now.
No, I see what you're saying, Nick. Like, do I think that Tennessee is just going to stay at number one all year long and go win a national championship? No, but if you look at the current state of the top 10, like, Kansas and Auburn both lost, Kentucky lost. Like, Tennessee deserves to be number one as of right now.
Right.
Don't listen to him. I'm proud of you.
I just, like, my thing with Tennessee sports fans, especially Vols fans in specific, they, like, look at college football. Prime example. Josh Heupel cannot get over the hump. This is him in the
we'll
playoff.
See. We'll see.
This is him in the playoff. Like, he's got to get over the first round hump. And if he does, then good for them. They finally made it to the playoff. Had to expand it, but they're in it. The second one, you look at basketball.
Rick Barnes can't get over the hump.
You can't get over the hump, all right? You do great in the regular season, but yet you can't get over the hump when it comes to playoffs.
I think, I'm just saying. I think when it comes to Rick Barnes and Tennessee fans, making the Elite Eight is what they wanted him. They wanted to see him pass the Sweet 16.
Okay, then you want to pass the Elite Eight.
Now you want to pass the Elite Eight to get to the Final Four.
This is the greatest segment in the history of this show.
Nothing against Jake Wallman, Vols fans in general. I got a lot of friends that are Vols fans. You guys are great. You're great. The atmosphere is fun to go to. But some of the comments that Vols fans make, it's just not it. Robbie Stanley, you're a great guy. I love you. I don't know what your stance is on this stuff, but, like, come on, man.
You want my jersey?
I'm good.
Don't worry, Nick. I'm going after Vols fans for some of the stuff they've been saying about the football team later on, too.
And I love Josh Heupel. Don't get me wrong. Love the guy.
And I think they are perfectly deserving of being in the playoff.
Yes,
this is a witch hunt.
I don't want to spoil the segment later. We're going to talk college football in the second hour.
I just had to get it off my chest.
We're going to talk Titans coming up next because
Yay. The
Titans are so good. And again, I mentioned marquee matchup tomorrow. All eyes are going to be on Nissan Stadium. Titans and Jaguars. Standalone game? Should it be? I don't know. We'll talk about it next here on Force Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Tune in to 93.3 FM Totally Hits Nashville today for MTSU men's basketball. The Blue Raiders taking on Belmont. 2:30 tip-off, and the pregame begins at 2 o'clock. Coverage also available on the Totally Hits Nashville app and at TotallyHitsNashville.com. Fours Company here on this Saturday morning. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Jake Wallman with you. Going to talk a little bit of Titans here. Just a couple of minutes on the two-tone blue. I have one question for all of you. And Nick Frazier, you have publicly said you are out on Will Levis.
I am.
I want to know, after a month now of solid performances from Will Levis, are we in on him being the quarterback in 2025? I'm not asking, do you think he is the franchise quarterback, but do you think Will Levis should be the starting quarterback heading into next season?
Financially, yes. Financially, yes. Like, they have no other option. I mean, their other option is to go after Jameis Winston or Sam Darnold, and we were talking candidly.
Or draft a guy.
Yeah, but you don't want to waste. Like, listen, if you're the Titans and you can waste a seventh round pick on a quarterback as a flyer, sure, do that. Don't go waste a top, you know, top 32 pick on a quarterback. That's just not where you need to go with that. I mean, so as for your comment about Will Levis, yeah, he probably should be the quarterback next season because that's all they got right now.
But you're still out on him being the guy.
100%.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I think he 100% should be the starting quarterback next
year. Me too.
Like you said, the options in free agency, you're either going to overpay for somebody who is definitely not a franchise quarterback in Sam Darnold or Jameis Winston or Daniel Jones or whoever it ends up being. And in the draft, the Titans aren't going to pick in the top five anymore. They've already got three wins. They play the Jaguars twice with Mac Jones starting at quarterback. They've got the Bengals at home who can't stop a runny nose on defense. You've already beaten the Colts. You play the Colts, who aren't very good. They did beat you. And you've already beaten the Texans. You could easily win three of your final five games. Two against the Jags, you win one of the other three. Six wins, you're not picking in the top five. You're probably 10, 11, 12. Do I want a rookie Cam Ward or Jalen Milroe, or give Will Levis one more year in a system after he started to show growth? I think it's got to be Levis.
I've said this multiple times on this show, on other shows. There is not a quarterback in this draft that I can look at and be like, that's the guy. It's just not a deep class. And I think over the past month, Will Levis has shown you that he can bounce back from rock bottom and pull himself back up and have solid performances. I'm not saying he's the franchise guy. I'm not saying we got to put all our chips in the middle on him. But I think he's earned himself another year in this system. And I think if you were to draft pieces around him, like, let's say, a Luther Burden is out
there. Right, that's exactly who I was going to say.
A Luther Burden, a guy that he can help develop and that can help develop him, a young guy he can look out for. If we were to do that, I think you would see more results. And maybe I'll start to come around again on maybe he's a franchise guy, but I'm not there right now. I don't think any of us at this table are there right now. But I do think he's earned himself another year.
I think it's realistic in this offseason. You've got, let's say you have, you know, the 10th pick, the 42nd pick, and they've got, what, $75 million in cap space? I think it's realistic on offense that you could get yourself a legit running mate for Calvin Ridley at wide receiver, and you could run out a top three of Ridley, Luther Burden, or whoever it is, and Nick Westbrook-Ikhine next year if you extend him. You could solve right tackle, whether that's in the second round or in free agency. Find somebody who can play right tackle.
Nice T enunciation.
There. Right tackle.
There you go.
And find a tight end. I think if you can solve those three problems, that is much more productive for this team to give Will Levis a chance to succeed rather than drafting Cam Ward.
I'll tell you who is gone. Treylon Burks.
Oh. Yeah, he better
gone.
Be.
I thought you were going somewhere else.
Hey.
Bye.
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 That's our thing. Oh, man.
Bye.
I will get back to like your initial point about Will Levis being quarterback next season. I would put a lot of emphasis on the last couple of games for the Titans' sake. When you go up against Jacksonville twice, Houston, if they can seem to figure things out for them, because they're just like not able to score points on a regular basis now, when they were just scoring points like galore at the beginning of the season. Then you got a Bengals team who cannot play defense to save their life. They're averaging, what, 30-something odd points on offense?
Yeah.
So, like, if Will Levis can have really good games against all those teams, I would, in my opinion, take it with a grain of salt, because it's the end of the season. A lot of guys are injured. You're not going to get the best quality of games out of the teams you're playing because, what, I think Indianapolis is kind of in the hunt for the most part. Jacksonville's definitely not in the hunt.
Bengals have kind of fallen out of it too. Like you're not playing anybody outside of Houston who's playing for anything, and Houston will likely have locked up the division by week 18 when you play them.
Right.
So you might see the B squad for them in that final week.
Right. And my thing is with Titans fans in general, just go in with an open mind about Will Levis these last couple of weeks, because there's going to be people out there that is just hypothetically, if Will Levis lights up the sky with, you know, some of the great deep balls he's been throwing the last couple of weeks and continues to do that the rest of the season, people are going to be like, this is it. This is our guy. Where has he been all year long? And people aren't going to see the in-depth of, well, the teams he's going up against are not that great right now, man.
But the good news is you don't have to extend him after this year. You have to make absolutely no commitment to him other than saying, you're going to be our quarterback for one more year.
You are going to be a quarterback on this team.
You will not get cut. Like, that's basically the only commitment the Titans have to make to him. And if you continue to build around him, yes, we did talk about it like at the beginning of the year. The worst thing that could happen is you don't know about Will Levis. But when there's really no other replacement and Will Levis is showing growth, I think it's worth it to give him another chance. Yeah. Then next year, it has to be make or break. If you don't know after next year, then he's done.
My issue, too, is you named him a captain this year. You go into next season, and he's just your plug-and-play type quarterback and probably won't re-sign him for the most part. What do you do about the captaincy? You strip it from him at the end of the season?
I think you got to keep it. He's the quarterback.
Yeah, like, you always name the quarterback a captain.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I feel like those young guns, like, prime example, Caleb Williams, I get it. He's going to be a solid quarterback in this league. I just feel like the NFL currently, it's a quarterback-driven league. They're forcing these young quarterbacks into positions of being a leader when they don't know how to be a leader in the NFL yet. That's my issue. You're forcing all these young quarterbacks to be leaders, but yet your true leaders are the ones that have been there 4 to 5, 7 years. Maybe they're defensive guys. Maybe they're, you know, wide receivers. Those are your captains, not your rookie quarterback.
Right, yeah. Like Jeffrey Simmons, it probably took him 3 or 4 years to become a true leader on this team because Jarrell Casey was there and Kevin
Byard.
No, I mean, he's getting there.
Yeah. Walter Payton, man of the year.
He's learning.
Yeah.
It's funny that you guys bring this up because Brian Callahan had an interesting quote from his Wednesday press conference. I can't remember what the question was, or it was a question about Will Levis's development. And he responded with, he didn't really quite know if guys in this league were getting enough time to develop before they're being asked to take on not necessarily a starting role, but a role that contributes. And I think he has something there. Because I think we put a lot on guys, coaches put a lot on guys like a Will Levis that they may not quite be ready to take on a responsibility of a starter.
Yeah, and you know, we've seen Will Levis, his growth. I think so many people just gave up on him after those first 3 weeks, but I said it last week, if he started the season with these 4 weeks instead of the 4 he did, I think Titans fans would be, you know, starting to plan the parade for Will Levis bringing a Super Bowl to Nashville. He's been really good the last 4 weeks, and I think tomorrow is going to be his best game of the year. I'm going to bold prediction, not as much about Will Levis, but it kind of goes with it. Calvin Ridley revenge game tomorrow. 150 yards, 2 touchdowns for Calvin Ridley.
Woo.
Against his former team. I think he's going to light up the Jaguars tomorrow.
I like this. I like Jake Lyman saying
we'll
that.
We'll go bold.
There we go.
We'll go bold.
Because I do have Calvin Ridley on a fantasy team, so thanks, Jake.
I do too.
Titans and Jaguars at noon tomorrow. Titans looking for their 4th win of the season, taking on a Jags team that is without Trevor Lawrence. Big game for Will Levis. I think this is the type of game where if you want to prove that you can be the guy, you got to dominate. You got to go dominate a bad Jaguars team and a bad Jaguars secondary. So we'll see if he can get it done. We're going to talk a lot of college football in the second hour. But before we wrap up hour number one, Newt's Notes coming up next here on Force Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Say his name and he appears. I believe in
Connor Newt.
I believe in
Newt's Notes.
Cause they love them in London and Paris and Tokyo, America, Scotland.
Wrapping up hour number one here on Force Company, it's time for Newt's Notes. This might be the first time that I have no idea what you're talking about, so
okay,
we're gonna let Connor just take it over.
I'm kind of on one today, guys. So last night I was talking to I don't know how to describe this. A person of mine, and I was informed, we're talking about, you guys know I'm a huge wrestling guy, of course. She was telling me how wrestling is for children. Why do you support that? Why do you watch that? I am on one. Because look at the worldwide impact that wrestling... That open I use, I change it up every week. Always wrestling. Always. But my main issue is, who are you to tell me what I can and can't like? I mean, there are millions and millions and millions of people around the world that love professional wrestling just as much as I do. Plus, that starts careers. Look at The Rock. The Rock would not be the global superstar he is today if he didn't start in the late 90s as Rocky Maivia.
I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for wrestling.
Yeah.
My grandparents been on a blind date.
I was about to go to you because, I mean, you appreciate it from a perspective none of us have.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. But then she proceeds to tell me, like, I'm watching Hallmark right now. Okay, like, if wrestling's fake, what are you watching Hallmark for? That's the dumbest argument I hear is people will tell me, well, it's fake. It's scripted. I'm like, who cares? It's enjoyable. Thank you. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Thank you, Rock. But, I mean, it's just, you'll have people text in. We had one time that said, we've known it's fake since the 90s. We know. That's the whole point. That's why it's enjoyable. It's not a sport. I mean, they have to be in athletic shape and, like, they have builds like no other, but it's not a true sport. It's just, it frustrates me so much that people are so insensitive and think that they can dictate what people watch and don't watch and enjoy. Wrestling's a part of my life. I mean, I listen every week now to Chase and Joe just to hear what they say. They had wrestlers on every week now. And hopefully we can get something in the works there because I'd love to be a part of that. But it's just, I don't know. I know you guys probably won't have much commentary on this. I just had to get that off my chest. It's just, oh.
I mean, it's definitely a part of American culture. A lot of people just forget that. I mean, you look at the Von Erichs who had their own promotion for the longest time. I mean, you look at, Jerry Jarrett. Down here
Jeff Jarrett.
Well, his dad, Jerry Jarrett. Yeah. My grandfather wrestled in his promotion here in Nashville. But, like, you know, just a bunch of different promoters. I mean, back in the day, it was territories. And it was
regional.
It was a Saturday morning event. It was pre-taped. Like, I remember my mom and my uncles would talk about how they'd get up Saturday morning and watch wrestling. Like, that was kind of the cartoons of back in the 70s and 80s, up into the 90s, and then it became primetime television, like Monday Night Raw and stuff like that, once all the mergers and stuff happened.
Well, it's a multimedia thing, too.
Yeah.
Watch College Game Day. They've had two wrestlers on this year. I mean, Pat McAfee has them on. Pat McAfee's a commentator for Monday Night Raw. Yeah. He's going back in January. I'm excited when they go to Netflix.
I'm not trying to shameless plug Chase McJosha, but Kofi Kingston mentioned in there in that his conversation, you know, you could have been a fan back in the 90s, and like your kids are now watching it, and now it's got you watching because you were a fan of Dusty Rhodes, and now Cody Rhodes is really good, so you're following wrestling again. Like, wrestling comes and goes. It's a part of your identity. It's a part of your skin. You just enjoy it.
That's one of the bonds me and my dad have, because dad, of course, grew up in the 80s and 90s and watched, you know, Ric Flair, Bret the Hitman Hart, all those guys, Dusty Rhodes. Now, my generation, Cowboy Bob Orton. Now, my generation, we get Randy Orton and Cody Rhodes, and he had The Rock. I have The Rock now. As a different Rock, but still The Rock.
Rock's family tree all Rock, up in yeah, the
it's,
ring.
Yeah. It's going to carry on for generations and generations and generations. And it comes and goes in big waves. Right now, it's in one of the hottest waves it's ever been in, selling like hotcakes. So, I mean, you can tell me it's for children and it's fake and all that, but the numbers speak for themselves.
I can kind of speak to it to a sense of, my dad was a big wrestling fan when he was growing up. And so, like, he watched, like, WCW that sort of thing, WWF, before that changed.
Yeah.
And it wore off on my brother more than it wore off on me, more or less. And I remember, we would tease my brother because we would tell him, you know, like, hey, it's fake. You know, it's not what you think it is. And he would just get so – angry because he would be adamant. Like, it's not fake. I know it's not fake, but it was still this thing that, like, we would kind of watch together, my dad, my brother, and I. And, you know, like you guys said, it just kind of came like this bonding experience that we had on Monday nights or on Friday nights or Tuesday nights or whatever. So, you know, you can't really bug people for what they like if you don't like the same thing.
I mean, I'm not one of those that gets super offended when you say it's fake. I know it's fake. You can just watch one episode. And
but he was a lot younger.
Yeah. So. I mean, I'm sure he's. I was the same way. It's real. It's real to me.
Yeah.
It's still real to me in a sense that, you know, you fall in love with these characters and these personas they take on, that it becomes part of your life. Me and Christian Skelton are friend of the show. You could come in on a tonight. We're working the Preds. It's going to be all wrestling tonight. I can tell you right now, Robbie Stanley is going to get so annoyed with us because it's going to be all quotes. And I apologize in advance, Robbie. But, you know, that's just my rant for the day. I you know me. I don't like to come on here and just tear things down. I'm a very positive person. I love what I love. But for someone to tell someone else that you can't support this, I mean, I'll tell you this right now. It starts. I was bullied in middle school, very badly.
I stand with you.
Yeah,
Newt. Always, I stand with you, Newt.
Always know this, Newt. Don't value the opinions of others that you won't value in the
future. And I'm learning that. Yeah. This job has taught me a lot about that. I come on here every week and I say what I say. I'm very unapologetic for what I say for the most part, unless I say something just completely out of pocket, which is bound to happen occasionally.
Haven't had one yet.
Not yet. Well, sort of. I said I have a special person, which they will be dropped.
Oh, I was going to say, does this kind of end things for you?
Oh, yeah. I'm back. And better than ever.
I love it.
Texter says, wrestling is a man's soap opera, which...
Yes. It kind of is, yeah.
It is.
And that's what I was going to say is, like, I feel like if you do love wrestling, it's because you loved it as a child.
Yeah.
Like, for me, my family never watched it, and, like, I've tried to watch it as, like, a teenager, and, like, I've had it on, and I'm like, man, this is stupid.
Yeah.
But, like, that's just because I wasn't into it as a kid. Yeah. But it's no different than there are plenty of grown men out there who love Star Wars.
And I love, like, Star Wars.
It's like, it's something that you enjoy watching. Yes, it is fake, and people might not understand it, but you're allowed to
everything
enjoy.
Is fake. The government's lying to you. There it is.
We could go a lot of places with that.
You're allowed to enjoy what you enjoy, and no one should be able to tell you that you're not. So, Connor, we stand with you.
Yes, justice for Newt.
Love it. The ones.
The ones.
The tribal ones chief.
Yeah, there we go.
Perfect. The tribal chief.
Great Newt's notes, as always, Connor. We will take a quick break. We'll be back to start up hour number two. We're going to answer our question of the day. If you could take the talent and career of any athlete, who would it be? We've got some answers on the text line. You can chime in as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Join Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and Derek Mason downtown at JBJ's Nashville this Sunday for the pregame show from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. They'll break down the Titans' Week 14 matchup against the Jaguars and give you the latest updates before the game. The pregame show is presented by Perman Tractor and Equipment, Sundeck Nashville, Sloan's Motorcycle ATV, and award-winning Blue Note Juke Joint and Blue Note Crossroads Bourbon. We'll be back after this to start up hour number two here on Force Company 102.5, 106.3 The Game.